Next item on the agenda is public comments. This is the opportunity for those that haven't spoken today on matters not before us on the agenda to speak to the commission. Yes, sir.
Hi, my name is Eric Weller. I know, gentlemen, that this is a little late in the game, but with the favorable weather that we've had this fall, do you think the commission would entertain extending private relay to the 15th of November? And I know we're down here at the tail end. I spoke to Shellfish Sanitation, a gentleman there, Mr. Farrington, and he said it would have to be, you know, before the commission would have to make that decision at the 55-degree benchmark. As long as it stayed within that range, he didn't seem to disagree. Of course, I don't have him here to validate that. But
I've got no reason to think you're not telling me the truth. Mr. Travelstead, do you or your staff have a comment on that? Suggestion?
The only comment is that it would take an emergency regulation here today to do that, which in recent months the commission has not been inclined to do that. No. I mean, we all know what the seasons are at the beginning of the year. They're long standing in the code and in regulation. Obviously we can't predict the weather and how warm it's going to be, but I don't see it as an emergency.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Weller. Anyone else? Mr. Jenkins. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, Commissioner Bowman, members of the board, Douglas Jenkins, representing Twin River Watermen Association. I have a couple things I'd like to address. I'm concerned over. One is the regarding the rockfish that President Bush issued an executive order to the Secretary of Commerce over the weekend regarding the harvest of striped bass and red drum commercially. In his address, he mentioned that there might be overfishing by the commercial fishermen. And I think we all know, since I serve on the Fin Fish Advisory Committee and Jack and all those board members as well, is that if it's any overhauling, it's been done by the recreational fishing up and down the coast. So I think it's appropriate for Jack to send the Secretary of Commerce a letter stating this fact. Also in his comments, there was concern in making the striped bass a game fish. And I guess that was good political gesture. My personal comment on it is probably his advisors, sort of like the ones with the Iraq War. They've been misinformed somewhere along the way. They haven't got it yet. But anyway, I hope Jack will make that letter from the BMRC saying that the commercial harvest in this state is not what he's indicating.
We'll be in a forum in the next couple of weeks where we'll be able to convey that type of information. So we will do that.
Appreciate that.
Yes, sir. Mr. Bowden.
Steve, I had the same concerns that Doug does. I always thought Gilmore was going to make me a Democrat. I know Bush is. There's no doubt about it.
That was Ernie Bowden. Bowden.
I think Virginia. My name on it anyway. But, you know, this is, he's made this. I'm like Doug. I think the weapons of mass destruction advisors give him advice on this. We all know that the hook and release mortality far exceeds the commercial straight bass mortality, including discards. I mean, you know, we're down to now, I don't know the exact numbers, but we're probably well under 20% commercial mortality mm-hmm. compared to 80% on the recreational side. So whoever gave them this advice was only giving them what they wanted him to hear.
Right.
You know, he's using his executive privilege or this order to bypass the Magnuson Act. It's a shared resource, and it's supposed to stay a shared resource. And if it was, and he even goes on, Doug gave me a copy of his speech. He even praises himself for reauthorizing the Magnuson-Stevenson Act. But then in the beginning, he just disregards it by having this executive order. He's not paying any attention to what he's, you know, blown his own horn about. So I think we need to make these people aware that we don't feel that way, and the Magnuson-Stevenson Act didn't feel that way. And as the president who signed it, why should he be the one that goes against something he just signed in, as recently as 2 years ago? So I agree with Doug. We need to send something from the commission saying the state of Virginia is opposed to this. It's a shared resource. It's supposed to stay a shared resource. The Magnuson Act is supposed to even keep percentages of shared resources. That's one contention we always hear about Flounder, that the commercial get too much, which most of us out of state on the Flounder issue is not even in-state boats. But I really do believe Doug's right in this one. I think, you know, we need to send a letter to the two secretaries that we're disappointed with this decision.
Well, after analyzing and listening to Dr. Hogarth yesterday on the conference calls, one thing is for certain. The Code of Virginia also provides some protections there, too, that indicates no fishery management plan shall discriminate against user groups. So at the present time, that's the law of the Commonwealth of Virginia that we will continue to operate under.
I hope so, because I have been fooled before when the ASMFC done the things that they done. Even having Taylor Murphy, which is a lawyer, and not only that, has been Secretary of Natural Resources, said the ASMFC was not supposed to be a regulatory agency, but it became that. So regardless of how we feel and think, you know, we're covered, sometimes we're not. That was one concern, and I thank you all for your consideration there. The other one is, this may not be as easy as that first one. By opening that Lower Rappahannock for arson this year, and the results of the boats working in that area, it has proved by keeping it closed that long has done more harm than good. Those large number of disease-resistant oysters aren't there. They die. And it concerns me of the amount of oysters that has died there in the last 15 years where they could have been harvested. Another thing concerns me is that we have areas in our area, well, I say our area, in Northern Neck, like Yokomica and the Cone, has been closed for a number of years. And I would like a permit to check those balls. And I welcome any board member, any DMRC inspector, Dr. Weston, Roger Mann, Gene Bergerson, all of them. Come and let's look at it. I don't see no harm in that by looking at it. And if we can, I checked those balls a couple of years ago. I know what was there. And if they proven to be degrading like those ones below the bridge, I think you have a duty and responsibility to do something better. If you disagree with me on that, fine. But if you agree with me on that, I'd appreciate it.
I have no problem ever sampling specific locations for specific reasons, and that's the case unless I'm missing something. Is Jim behind, right behind Doug? Oh, there you are. I'm sorry, Jim. It's been a long day. You want to comment, please?
Um, As far as the Rappahannock goes, I mean, I don't think anybody didn't tell you that it was, there's not many oysters out there. There haven't been many oysters out there. It's the small numbers of the big ones that's been the issue. And we've done the fall survey for the northern neck. I mean, so we have all those numbers if somebody wants to see them. I mean, we have them there. Public record, we've done it with them, and disease tests are being done right now to find out what the disease situation is and the oysters up in those, on all those bars and in the Potomac trips. And so in the next week or two, we'll have all that information. You don't have to go. I mean, people are, you can go look. But there's been no surprises. I mean, this year, we are in a major drought. You can't miss it on TV.
Right.
Just finished the James today, and the James looks horrible. I mean, there's mortality everywhere. It's just our oyster dies with high salinity, and when you have high salinity moving in areas that it hadn't been in a while, you'll have mortality. Normally, the flip side of that is that you get spat set in high salinity years, but we're not getting the flip side this year. There is actually more. It's the Rappahannock is the reverse of last year. There's more spat set down in the area that we're harvesting than there is up in the area that was harvested last year. Exactly reversed of what we saw last year, but in both cases, the numbers are relatively small. Spat set in the James is very small. We have a little spat set in the Great Wicomico, but you would have anticipated with this sort of salinity that we would have seen a lot more spat set than we've seen, and we've not seen it. So.
But go ahead, Ernie. Mr. Bowden. B-O-W-D-E-N.
I'm not a minister. I work for a living. Question I have for you. How many bushel oysters have you bought, large, the 4 1/4 and up?
Well, the first 2 weeks we're at 500, about 500 bushels. We're working on the third week now because they sent us their things in at the end, and that's about where we thought we would be.
Okay. But, thank you.
I still don't have any problem with Doug's request if you can find time to go up there and look one more time and see what's up there.
Yeah, I mean, we'll be back. I mean, we do three surveys. We do a dive survey, we do a dred survey we just finished,
right,
and then we do a Patentong survey that we'll be starting this week. And we'll be back in the Northern Act doing that survey. And he's welcome to come with us. I mean, it's...
Y'all get together and do it because
I
think it's a legitimate request.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank y'all. Who's next? Mr. Jensen. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I'm here on the same subject that I was here before, and it's no longer a matter of litigation, so I hope we can talk like gentlemen would talk. I have a drawing here that I would like each member to get relative to what I want to talk about today. The subject is AMF-3, the Navy's ammunition mooring facility. And this drawing that you have in your hand is basically the way it is today. The hazmat material has been pretty well cleared off, and all the filter pilings that show on here are gone, and they're down now to the serious business of demolition. And they have, I've been in contact with them. Yesterday afternoon I was over at the site and talked with the contracting officer, and they're still quite willing to put it down. I'm going to give them the design if you all would be willing, and we can make a real fine fishing reef out there for a general reef, okay? Oysters will grow on it. But that's not the real reason I would like to see it go down. I'd like to see it go down as an anchor reef to a very big project that has been withdrawn from consideration, but after we get beyond beyond this, we can talk about it. Because in the matter of oyster restoration, it's my belief that the matter of scale is extremely important, and we have to think about scale and about alternate substrate. And I'd like you all to consider, because...
Ma'am.
Got that map kind of going over
the... Oh, I'm sorry. Is this making noise? Rattling the paper.
Yes, sir.
Oh, my God.
You're hitting the
mic. Okay, we'll be unintelligible. All right, okay.
That.
All right, thank you. I'm sorry. I didn't realize the microphone was so close. But anyway... There's an opportunity for the Commonwealth of Virginia to do something good for Hampton Roads. Hampton Roads. Now, the current direction that the Navy has is, hey, the Mike Myers Reef over at Back River, outside the Hampton Roads and up the shoreline to Pocosin and back there, can handle every bit of this material that's coming off of this, but this is prime reef building material, and it won't be dumped. It will be very carefully placed. There's 140 some odd pilings that have to be withdrawn, and within the same lift, they'll be laid down and placed in a very careful array that will make that reef basically self-maintaining for over 100 years or more. It won't turn into a lump, because we do have a good flow, tidal flow. That's what it was very important about that site, and that is one of the reasons that oysters found their way to that place a long time ago. It's been in existence for 25 years. And there is a chance that withdrawing the pilings carefully and laying them down carefully in a planned array. And by the way, this is the footprint that will take every bit. And it's if you overlaid a football field, it would fit basically on this overlay, on this this drawing. I didn't put any dimensions on it because I didn't want to clutter this drawing. But that's basically what we've got. Pile caps. We have the main pier, which is 15 feet wide and 300 and a few feet long. And they're going to break it up in sections that will probably stack three high and sit on the bottom in an envelope that is no more than 6 foot from the bottom. And the length and breadth of the footprint. Now, the reason that we want to stay in the footprint is because it's on everybody's chart. And everybody knows where it is. And the local fishermen, I lived in that area for close to 40 years. The local fishermen know how to catch some pretty good-sized bait fish out there, and other fish, too. But this plan will be beneficial to the people of Hampton Roads that don't own boats that are big enough to go out offshore or out in the Big Bay to go fishing. In other words, the fishermen are going to benefit from this plan more than anybody else. And it could, and the state owns the bottom, I understand that, and the thing could be a sanctuary forever and ever, and no harvesting off of it. And that would be what I would offer you today. But the Navy has to know. The Navy has to know because they're in this week. They start the piling withdrawal, so they need a communication from the Virginia Marine Resources Commission.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Public comments? Next item on the agenda is item number 13, proposed amendments to Regulation 4 VAC 2910 pertaining to SCUP. Good afternoon, ma'am.
Good afternoon. As we talked about last month, the SCUP quota is divided into three different periods.